It's good to have everybody with us tonight. Thank you, Pat's Kids. You guys did a good job. A choir, I love that. I don't know if Mike can hear me or not, but man, I like that rendition of that song. I thought that was tremendous. So that was a blessing. Well, Brother Stiles will preach for us again tonight and teach us whatever he's got prepared, and we're looking forward to it. So, Brother Tom, why don't you come? You going to stay down there?
Yes, sir.
Chair? No? Maybe so? PowerPoint?
Mexican dinner today. Whoops, I forgot. Oops. I did put it on. All right. These are sometimes backwards. This one, there it is. I'm out now. All right. All set? Okay. Do you see this thumb? Do you see this little tiny button right here? That's the problem. I need a smaller thumb or a bigger button. I think the button could be fixed easier than the thumb. Anyway, that is what happened. I've enjoyed the day. Chris and Wendy took us out for a Mexican dinner. Barb and I relaxed in the prophet's chamber this afternoon. And it's just been a good day. We're thankful to have the time with you folks today. I always enjoy coming to Friendship Baptist, and we have a lot of friends here, and it's always a blessing. What I thought I'd talk with you tonight is about prayer. Now, I've talked about prayer before in different contexts with you, but tonight we're just going to talk about the importance of prayer in America's history. Prayer, this is a nation that was born in prayer. The founders, before they came, I showed you a picture of Pastor Robinson this morning with his congregation before they departed on the Mayflower to come to America. It began with a day of prayer. America was really born in prayer. Now, so that we have a scripture background, 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us, I exhort, therefore, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made to all men, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good, acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Evangelist Franklin Graham read that passage of scripture at the inauguration of President Trump and explained briefly the gospel. One thing I admire about Franklin Graham, he never speaks on TV or in public that I don't hear him share the gospel. This is the hope for America. Now, the Word of God says prayer is a priority. I exhort first of all that prayer, supplication, intercession, giving of thanks be made to all men. First of all, things in the Bible are important. We are to pray. So there is a command that's very clear to pray. Secondly, the command says we're to pray for those in authority. So we're to pray for those who rule in our country. That would include our president, our senators, our governor, our state senators, et cetera. People that serve as a county executive, people who serve in various forms, including I think we need today to pray especially for police. There are people that have an open season on police right now. And we need to be praying that God would protect them, and they're the people that stand between us and criminals, and so we need to pray. Pray for the people of ICE. Kristen Gillibrand, up for re-election as U.S. Senator from New York, announced this week she's advocating the abolition of ICE. Just do away with the immigration services. Just do away with it. We need to reimagine it. Well, their goal is right now to protect the country. What are we going to reimagine them doing? Opening the door, escorting people in? So we need to pray for people in authority that have wisdom and pray that some of this folly would be rejected. First Continental Congress, things were getting rough in the colonies. French and Indian War had resulted in a victory for England and the colonies. But England decided that the colonies should pay for all of that. And there were a number of disputes between the colonies and England. If you read the Declaration of Independence, there are 27 charges made by the Continental Congress against the king. They really wanted peace. They did not want war. They wanted England to recognize their rights as Englishmen. The tradition, the common law, based on the scriptures, had been implemented in England for some time, that men had rights, that no one was above the law, for instance, not even the king. So they had appealed, but things did not work out well. But in 1774, when they met, they prayed and had a time of prayer. The first National Day of Prayer, as the great governor of the world, by a supreme and universal providence, not only conducts the course of nature and unerring wisdom and rectitude, but frequently influences the minds of men. This Congress, therefore, concerning the present critical alarm, calamitous state of these colonies, do earnestly recommend Thursday, the 20th day of July next, to be observed by the inhabitants of all the English colonies on this continent as a day of public humiliation, fasting, and prayer. The days of prayer in the United States in the past were days of prayer. We've got them down to maybe an observance at the town hall that lasts maybe an hour, and people are looking at their watch during that time. But the Continental Congress wanted the whole day. People were to take the day off work. They were to assemble in their places of worship. It was to be a day of fasting. You didn't eat. It was a day of humiliation, that is, repentance. And usually in their proclamations, they call for repentance as well. This is part of what they prayed. We're not going to take the time to read that, but you get the idea that they wanted the discord to be taken care of. They ended the prayer by saying, or their call or proclamation, that virtue and true religion may revive and flourish throughout the land, that all America may soon behold a gracious interposition of heaven for the redress of her many grievances. Now, what did they see as the hope for America? Not just England, but praying, and what did they want? They wanted a revival of true religion. They wanted people to come back to Christ. That was their goal. That's what they were thinking of. Declaration of Independence, we celebrate this week, is, if you understand it, a time of prayer. Washington made the statement, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, to humbly implore His protection and His favor. George Washington himself made a practice of a daily prayer. I don't recommend a read prayer, but he did read this prayer every day of his adult life. He began when he was a teenager. He said, "Direct my thoughts, words, and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb. Purge my heart by the Holy Spirit from the dross of my natural corruption, that I may with more freedom of mind and liberty serve Thee, the everlasting God, in righteousness, holiness, this day and all the days of my life." That's the father of our country. That's the man who said, "You know what? I need my sins washed away in the immaculate blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." It was a wonderful comment. Days of prayer were called throughout the Revolutionary War. There were probably, if I count right, about 17 days that Congress called on the nation to pray. These were held at least once a year during the war, and then some special times as well. Times when the churches would gather together, Christians would gather in their churches and pray earnestly for the nation. There also were national days of thanksgiving. After the Battle of Saratoga, for instance, there was a national day of thanksgiving for the victory that had been won. It was really the turning point in the war. There was a national day of thanksgiving declared by Washington at the end of the war. When he took office as the first president of the United States, he said, "We need to stop and we need to thank God for the blessings that have allowed us to do this." And so we need to remember this. During history, prayer has been important. on the verge of war with France. John Adams' presidency was only 4 years, but during that time, tension got pretty tight with France. And it looked like they might go to war. And so he called on the nation to pray. He said, as the safety and prosperity of nations ultimately and essentially depend on the protection and the blessings of the Almighty God, the national acknowledgement as the United States of America area at present placed in hazardous and afflictive situation by the unfriendly disposition, conduct, and demands of a foreign power, under these considerations, it appeared to me that the duty of imploring the mercy and benediction of heaven on our country demands at this time special attention from its inhabitants. He said, look, we're facing a crisis. What we need to do is we need to pray. We need to pray. Prayer is an important thing. During the Constitutional Convention, that's out of order. This is a quote that I've given you before from Benjamin Franklin. Franklin was the oldest member of the Constitutional Convention that met in 1887. He is considered by many to be very anti-religious. He was probably not a Christian. But the notion that he had no respect for God or the Bible is not true. Thomas Paine came to him with a book, The Age of Reason, and asked him to publish it. Franklin read it and said, I would recommend that you burn it, because it was an attack on Christianity. He said, it's not going to do any good to do that. In the convention, after 5 weeks of deliberation, they started on May 25th, 1787. After 5 weeks, they were getting nowhere. Nothing was happening. Here's what he stood and said, in part. In this situation, as an assembly, groping as it were in the dark to find political truth, to scarce able to distinguish it when presented to us, how has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of Lights to illuminate our understanding? The speech goes on a little longer than that. James Madison, the one who recorded for it, he said, sir, I've lived a long time on the earth, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth that God rules in the affairs of men. He reminded them, unless they were successful in forming a government, they would appear to the world no wiser than the people of the Tower of Babel. They would be the laughingstock of the whole world. He then said, I think it's time that we pray. It's time that we pray. We know what they did afterwards. Whoops, wrong button. Can you get rid of that for me? I don't know how to do it. They're on both of them too. Whoops. Did I skip one? Yeah, there it is. After that, they didn't stop and pray right then, but they took a recess. During that recess, they assembled at a church and heard a sermon by William Rogers, a Baptist minister, a itinerant minister, who prayed in part, we firmly recommend to the fatherly notice our federal convention. Favor them day to day with immediate presence. Be thou their wisdom, their strength. Enable them to devise such measures that may prove happily instrumental for the healing of all nations and promoting the good of the great whole. And that became the turning point in the convention. God answered that prayer and the other prayers that followed afterwards. During the War of 1812, James Madison, remember Madison's wife was named Dolly. She's the one that evacuated some things from the White House, saving the portrait of Washington is probably the main contribution. But Madison called for a national day of prayer. He said, I recommend rendering the sovereign of the universe public homage, acknowledging the transgressions which might justify or provoke the manifestation of his divine displeasure, seeking his merciful forgiveness, with reverence for the unerring precept of our holy religion, to do unto others as required that others should do unto them. Madison had studied under Witherspoon, who was a Presbyterian minister and the president of what became Princeton University. Madison was studying for the ministry, was told he couldn't speak well enough, so he became president instead of a pastor. It's a true story. He said, what we need to do, we're in a bad situation as a country. We need to pray. And he also said, maybe we're in this fix because God's angry with us. And so we need to seek his mercy. That's part of what happened. On August 25th, 1814, the British invaded Washington. They also invaded Baltimore. That's when we got the song, The Star-Spangled Banner. But they started burning Washington, including the White House. While they were doing that, a storm came up, and more British soldiers were killed by the storm than were killed by the by the bullets of the defenders. God answers prayer and has in America's history. During a time of national crisis, William Henry Harrison, who had the shortest time in the White House, he gave a speech in his inaugural address in March that lasted for a couple hours in freezing rain and ended up getting pneumonia and dying about a month later. But he did have time enough to call for prayer. When Christian people feel themselves overtaken by great public calamity, it becomes them to humble themselves under the dispensation of providence. He said, we find ourselves in a bad situation. It's time that we pray. It's time that we pray. Zachary Taylor, during his administration, 1849, there was a cholera epidemic. He called for a national day of prayer, saying, in part, a fearful pestilence is spreading itself throughout the land. It is recommended a day of fasting, humiliation, prayer, to abstain from secular occupations, to implore the Almighty in his good time to stay the destroying hand. And God did indeed answer those prayers. The famous call for prayer during the Civil War by Abraham Lincoln, 1863, said, the awful calamity of civil war may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins. We have forgotten God. We vainly imagine in the deceitful of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too proud to pray to the God who made us. And so Lincoln said, we need to correct that. We need to have a day of prayer. And they did indeed. It was a turning point in the war. During World War II, Woodrow Wilson called the nation to prayer, saying, I hereby proclaim a day of public humiliation, prayer, fasting, to exhort my fellow citizens to assemble on that day in their several places of worship to pray to Almighty God that he may forgive our sins and purify our hearts. Now, you'll notice in these days of prayer, they were not just saying, bless America. They weren't just saying, we need blessings. They were acknowledging, maybe we're in this fix because of our sins. We need forgiveness so that God can bless us. That's a part of what was important to them. On D-Day, Franklin Delano Roosevelt went to the radio and addressed the nation, actually led the nation in prayer. Now, I haven't recorded that. I'm not sure how to do that with a PowerPoint, but you can go online and you can hear the President of the United States, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, lead the nation in prayer, asking for God's blessing on our men who are fighting. Here's what he said. My fellow Americans, last night when I spoke to you about the fall of Rome, I knew that at that moment the troops of the United States and our allies were crossing the channel in another and great operation. It has come to pass with success thus far, and so in this poignant hour, I asked you to join me in prayer. Part of what he said was, our sons, the pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic and to set free suffering humanity. He went on to say, and as for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, brothers, brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in thee in this hour of great sacrifice. So on D-Day, Roosevelt prayed with the nation and asked specifically that God would create a renewed spirit within us, that we would be restored. During the Cold War, President Harry Truman said, in times of national crisis, when we're striving to strengthen the foundations of peace, we stand in special need of divine support. He is the first to call for an annual observance of the National Day of Prayer. It was later changed to the first Thursday in May each year during the Reagan administration. George W. Bush the first, or George H. Bush the first, rather, surprised the nation in his inaugural address. Now, you may not remember this, but as a president gives his speech, it's kind of a hint of where he's going, what his direction is, and usually a memorial. We think of Kennedy, ask not what you can do for your country, but ask what you can do for your country. Liberals have it mixed up today. Anyway, George Bush led the nation in prayer. He said, Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and thank you for your love. accept our thanks for the peace that yields us day and shared faith that makes the continuance likely. Make us strong to do your work, willing to heed and hear your will. Write on our hearts these words, use power to help people. For we are given power not to advance our own purposes, nor to make great show in the world, nor a name. There is but one just use of power, and that is to serve people. Help us to remember, Lord. Amen. Now, I could wish he had prayed a little better, but he did pray, and he did call on God to help the nation. I think, you know, we want to honor God, not just help people. During the 9/11 crisis, President Bush traveled to New York City and led the nation in prayer. We asked Almighty God to watch over our nation, to grant us patience, resolve, and all that is to come. We pray that he will comfort, console those who now walk in sorrow. We thank him for each life now must mourn and their promise of a life to come. During a time of crisis, prayer is important. I was in Washington, D.C. with the American Association of Christian Schools on 9/11. Dwayne Motley had flown down there, but all airlines were shut down, and so we decided to drive back. As we were driving back, Dwayne's cell phone rang. It was the governor, Governor Pataki, and he said, Dwayne, we need to gather Christians to pray. We're in trouble as a nation, as a state, and we need help. Now, I wish Governor Pataki had done some better things than he did, but I do know in a time of crisis, he was smart enough to say, what we need to do is to pray. A prayer rally was held in New York City. Dwayne helped lead it, and the governor attended and made comments as well. This last year, Donald Trump has been saying a lot of good things about religion. I don't know that he's a Christian. I have not heard him say, I have been born again, or I've accepted Christ as my Savior. Mike Pence is very careful to say it every time he speaks. But I have not heard. I do know that he surrounded himself with a number of people that are professing Christians. Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, a lot of his counselors, the Secretary of Education, Mrs. DeVos. There are a number of others that are very clearly born again Christian. There is a Bible study going on in the White House every week. It's held by, led by an evangelical ministry, and various cabinet members attend as their schedule allows. It's open to others as well. So God is at work. But this last year in the National Day of Prayer, this is what President Trump said. On this National Day of Prayer, we join together to offer our gratitude for the many blessings and acknowledge our need of divine wisdom, guidance, and protection. Prayer, which we affirm our dependence upon God, has long been fundamental to our pursuit of freedom, peace, unity, prosperity. Prayer sustains us, brings us comfort, hope, peace, strength. Therefore, we must cherish our spiritual foundations and uphold our legacy of faith. Now, he has made a number of other statements that are very significant. I believe God's working on his heart. I think things are happening in the White House. So we need to pray for the president to actually be saved. The Word of God says very clearly that we are to pray. How are we to pray? Why? Well, that we might lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. It's said to be good and acceptable in the sight of God. God wants us to pray. What should we pray? Well, I think we ought to pray for rulers. That seems to be the command there. We pray for their salvation. We pray for their safety. We pray that God would give them wisdom, that they make the right decisions. We pray for their courage, that they might stand up to all the pressures they're under. There's enormous pressures on our legislators, our congressmen, and others to compromise their convictions, to do the wrong thing. We need to be praying for their wisdom. But also, we really need to pray for revival. 2 weeks ago, Vice President Trump addressed the Southern Baptist Convention and ended his message by saying, you need to pray for us, pray for America, and this is what I'd like you to pray. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. America needs revival. Now, although there are good things happening in the White House, it's not going to come from there. Okay? even though there are good things happening in the Supreme Court with the retirement of Justice Kennedy, revival's not going to come from the Supreme Court, folks. Revival has to come from the church house. It's not the White House, the courthouse, it's the church house. We're the ones, and the way you get revival, the Bible says, is to pray. So let me ask you, do you pray for our country? Do you pray for our leaders? Do you pray for revival? And when you pray for revival, where does revival begin? It begins in the church house, yes, but even more specifically, it begins in my heart and yours. The Word of God says you have not because you ask. That's the problem. That's the problem. Why don't we have revival? Because Christians are not praying. We need to pray. I don't think God's done with America. I believe God wants to do a great work, but there's a way to get that. That is to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek His face. That's our part. The second part is His part. Then I will hear from heaven and will heal their land. America's being torn apart today. There was a demonstration just in the news today of things that are taking place where two sides are clashing, fist fights are going on. America's, something's happening bad. Some good things, but evil is really rising up. You know, when Satan's hard-pressed, he gets angry. And I think that's what's going on. I think Satan's angry because some good things are taking place. We need to pray. We need to pray. When I was a pastor, I had a critic come to me. Every pastor has those. He, on Sunday, said, I need to talk to you this week, which always, you know, you spend the rest of the week wondering what they want to talk about. He came in pretty angry looking, and he said, Pastor, I don't think you pray enough. And I thought to myself, really? And how would you know that? Have you gone around with a stopwatch? I didn't say it. I just listened. I'm smart enough to learn that after a few years in the ministry. So I just listened, and the more he talked, the more I thought, well, you know what? I don't think you could find a pastor in the state of New York that thinks they pray enough. I don't think you find anybody who says, well, you know, this prayer thing, I got that one down. Yeah. I think everybody would say, you know, I could. So the more he talked, I said, you know what? He's actually right. I think I need to pray more. You can learn from your critics if you listen. He gave me a book by E.M. Bounds. It's a great book. He asked me to read it, and I ended up preaching a series on it. And the importance of prayer. It didn't satisfy him, by the way, but that's all right. I learned a lesson. I think that's the challenge for all of us, to pray more and to pray specifically for our nation and for our leaders. There are people out there calling for the assassination of the president. There are people out there calling for him to be impeached. Maxine Waters impeached 40, you know, she rants and raves. We need to pray for America. We need healing. And the only way that's possible is if we return to the God of our fathers. And the way to do that is prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We have celebrated the birthday of our country, and we're thankful that we can do that in freedom and peace. We pray, God, that we would respond to the challenge to pray more for America. God, we ask that you would bless our president, our governor, give them wisdom, help them to do what's right, help them, Heavenly Father, to be safe, safe from harm. We pray the same thing for our congressmen, our U.S. senators, our state legislators. God, most of all, though, we pray for America to experience genuine revival and begin that work in each one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?
Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, faithful head.
He talked about prayer. A lot of you don't realize how much